Well, good morning, everyone. If you wouldn't mind, Daniel chapter 12 this morning. Please hold your applause as we are at the end. I know the tens upon tens of people who watch us every week are cheering out there in cyberspace right now. We have finally made it to the end of the book of Daniel. Tim mentioned during our song time, this is one thing that I did look at. Six or so weeks ago, I was trying to think about how this was all going to draw to a conclusion, and I did notice that the times I was scheduled to speak, that it ended just right. So here we are. This is the last opportunity for me here at Central Bible Chapel in 2022, which probably is garnering applause as well, but we are at the end of Daniel, and so I am thankful to be here. I hope that you have enjoyed this journey. I appreciate you going along with me on it. I had mentioned at the onset of this that this year I wanted to look at some prophetic scriptures. We've done several things throughout the years. We utilize the Choice Gleanings calendar, which if you visit our website, you'll see a daily devotional at the top, and that's the Choice Gleaning calendar for that day. And if you follow along, you can read through the entire Bible in a year. We've done the Bible app challenge through the year where you read chronologically. And so this year, though, I really wanted to think a little bit about prophetic scripture. It's always very interesting to me when we think of things that are yet to come. None in my mind greater than the return of the Lord Jesus to come and gather his own to him. Looking forward to that day. Looking forward to being reunited with loved ones that have gone on. More importantly than that, though, looking forward to be able to be before the Savior face to face, and to be able to thank him for all that he has done for us. Little Sawyer and Nathan will pray a lot of times at our midweek meetings, and they will say, "Dear God, thank you for everything that you have done." And it is an incredible thing to hear. And as we look back through the book of Daniel, to see the incredible thing that God has done in this book, giving Daniel this wonderful life, and Daniel has been absolutely faithful and true to God through this entire book. He served king after king after king after being exiled into Babylon with the Jewish nation. Back when Nebuchadnezzar came, and good old Neb came and took him away, and they stayed there for many years, and Daniel lived now. He's an old man here at the end of chapter 12. Chapter 12 is a continuation from where the man clothed in linen showed up in chapter 10. And begin to give all of these incredible visions of prophetic things that were to Daniel yet to come. And we covered a tremendous amount of that last time in Daniel chapter 11. All sorts of things that were shown to Daniel that we can prove beyond the shadow of a doubt, by date, by name, throughout history, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. We get to the end of Daniel chapter 11, and it seems to shift a little bit, not only future to Daniel, but now future to us as well. And chapter 12 is no different. Chapter 12 is a time yet to come. But here we are. Now back in Genesis, God made a promise to Abram, who later became Abraham, that his seed would be as the stars of the sky, and it would be from his own son, his promised heir, if you will. And we know from Scripture that that was Isaac. It's a great story. If you have the opportunity over this Christmas season that we're in right now, go back and take a little bit of time and read Genesis chapter 22 and read that incredible story of Isaac and Abraham going up into the mountain and there being a little ram caught over in the thicket to be the substitute for Isaac. And then read the story of the Lord Jesus Christ as he walked up that hill to Calvary. And there was no substitute for him as he bore our sins there on the cross. Well, he also promised that his children would be held captivity in a land, and we saw that. We can read about that as they were taken into Egypt for some 400 years. And God said, the nation that does that to you, I am going to punish greatly. And he did, as they were delivered by a miraculous hand out of Egypt. And as we get to Daniel, we see that once again his people are taken into captivity, as we've already mentioned there, by our good buddy Nebuchadnezzar in the land of Babylon. And we see God's dealing with his people there in that land. So when we ended chapter 11, if your Bible is like mine, chapter 11 and chapter 12 are almost all together on the same page because they're right here at the end of this little book. But if you remember, when we ended chapter 11, there was this picture for us of the kings coming together for the great battle. And then we come into chapter 12. And chapter 12, we're going to say, divides into three different sections for us this morning. The first three verses, Israel's trouble. And then just the singular verse 4, Daniel is given a little bit of instruction. Pardon me. And then finally, the last bit of this chapter, verses 5 through 13, we hear a lot from this man in linen and what he has to say. Again, the same gentleman that we were introduced to back in chapter 10, I'll remind you a little bit about him as we go on together. So let's take just a couple of minutes, only 13 verses. Let's read these 13 verses together. We'll ask the Lord to bless our time, and then we'll pick out a few things that were in here for us, I think, are very relevant for us to look at. So Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 begins like this. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. In verse number 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on the bank of the stream, and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way to the end. You shall find rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Father, we do thank you again for your word and the opportunity to read from it. We pray now as we look a little deeper into it, Father, that you would give us the wisdom to understand and see the things that you would have for us here this morning. We pray your blessing upon it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I don't know if you paid very, very close attention, but verse 8 of Daniel chapter 12 is probably a key verse not only for this chapter, but also for the entire book. Daniel said, I heard, but I did not understand, and I am with Daniel in that particular statement. There's a lot of things here that really sort of seem a little confusing to us, right? But we'll see a couple of things as we go along. First thing that we'd like to establish is right out the gate that chapter 12 is really directed to the nation of Israel. You'll see here, verse 1 begins, at that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who is in charge of your people. So he talks specifically about Michael. We were already introduced to Michael back earlier in the book of Daniel. You might remember Michael was sent to Daniel to answer a prayer. Daniel had a prayer that he offered up to God, and he waited, and in some 21 days, I believe it was, Michael showed up and he said, hey, sorry, the king of Persia was against me there for a little while, but I made it, I'm here now. And they went and did what was needed to be done and explained to Daniel what needed to be explained. But Michael is a he is a prince that is in charge of his people. And so what we also discovered as we talked about Michael a little bit earlier in this book is there seems to be a hierarchy when it comes to the angels, and it seems like Michael is one of the higher angels. We understand when we read Scripture that there are really only three angels that are named in Scripture. One of them fallen, that's Lucifer, who we often refer to as Satan. And the other two, Gabriel and Michael. Gabriel kind of seems, at least in my mind as I read about Gabriel, sort of a herald. He gets to announce things that are going to happen. He's the one that appeared to Mary and Joseph, right? Michael is a prince. He's a fighter. He's a leader of the host of people, it seems like, and a leader of the host of angels. Also, it was Michael. You can hold your place here. There's a few places that we'd like to take a look at this morning if you want to follow along. But over in Revelation chapter 12, if you were to flip all the way to the end of this Bible, in Revelation chapter 12, we see Michael was really involved in a lot of things. And one of the things is that he is the guy who threw Satan out of heaven. And that's a pretty big deal. But Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9, and then verse 13, they read like this. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon is Satan, that old serpent that we read about. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Now, the woman who had given birth to the male child was a picture of Israel and the birth of the Savior, because the Lord Jesus Christ was to come from Israel, right? And so the devil is, he's pretty hot under the collar because Michael has thrown him down out of heaven and he goes after the Lord and his people. That's what the devil does there. We see here at the end of verse 1 that there shall be a time of trouble, back to Daniel 12, verse 1, such as never been since there was a nation till that time. Never before. Now you think about the two things that we've already mentioned just very briefly here this morning. They were held captive in their bondage in the land of Egypt for some 400 years. They were also now in Daniel's time in Babylon, held under bondage. They were captive there. Now, and when we get into the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus was walking the earth, they came to him and he said something about them being slaves. And they said, no, we've never done that before in our lives, right? In our whole history. And even then, as they said those words, they were under Roman rule. And all of these things have happened. And God tells Daniel, there's a time coming that's going to be like nothing they've ever seen, ever before. Jeremiah said this back in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7, alas, that day is so great, there is none like it. It is a time of distress for Jacob, yet he shall be saved out of it. And the Lord Jesus said this himself in Matthew chapter 24, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until now, no, and never will be. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. And there will be deliverance. You notice there, sort of in the middle of verse 1, but at that time your people, again he's speaking to the nation of Israel, shall be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. Now how does this deliverance happen? Well, the Lord Jesus makes that very clear to us. Very famous verse. You see it in a lot of places. You may have it memorized from your time in Sunday school or Awana programs or whatever that you've been involved in. The Lord Jesus said, as recorded in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the way of deliverance for the nation of Israel during the time of tribulation is exactly the same way that you and I find deliverance today. There is no other way. Abraham understood that. Scripture tells us that he had faith. He believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness, right? We know these things from Scripture. We can read and see them. Zechariah prophesied this back in Zechariah 13. He wrote, in the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds shall be cut off and perished, and one-third shall be left alive. And I will put this third into the fire and refine them as one refines silver, and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. There is deliverance coming for them out of this time. And then if you'll come down to verse 2 of Daniel chapter 12 with me. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. It's a little bit of discussion about this verse that we want to consider. There's two really main ways of thinking about this verse, and I want to share what I have learned about both of those ways for you. Well, if we read it and we just look at it, in those and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. When we read, particularly when we read in the New Testament, we read the word, sleep. It really implies death, right? The Apostle Paul wrote about that in Thessalonians. Those who are asleep shall rise. The dead in Christ shall rise first. He speaks of death. And there are those who say, well, here it is. You know, there's this time when there's going to be this great awakening of people who are dead, and some are going to go into everlasting life, and some to hell, some to everlasting contempt. Scripture doesn't teach us that there is a joint resurrection of the righteous and the unrighteous. Scripture teaches us that at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air, what we call the rapture, that is when the dead who are saved are raised. Now, the souls of the dead are in heaven already, right? We have loved ones who are there. My parents are there in the presence of the Lord right now. They're absent from their body. Their body is in the ground in Needham, Alabama. I can go and I can see the place where that it lays. But there's a day coming when the shout is made, the trumpet is blown, and that body will be raised from the dead and it will meet that soul again, and they shall forever bodily be with the Lord. So too for us. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior this morning and you were to pass from life to physical death before that time comes, that'll happen for you as well. At that time, we aren't told anything about the unrighteous dead rising from the grave. Now, those who died in their sins without knowing the Lord Jesus as their Savior, their souls are in hell right now. Same situation. And one day, Revelation tells us, the book of Revelation tells us, that they will be reunited with their bodies and they will be bodily in hell for all of eternity, but that's before the great white throne of judgment. So Scripture doesn't teach us that the righteous and the unrighteous rise together at the same time. I want you to consider this with me. If you remember, there is a kind of a spooky story back over in Ezekiel chapter 37. And we refer to it sometimes around Halloween, right? The prophet Ezekiel is standing around a bunch of bones, right? And this is what the Word of God says in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, he's speaking to Ezekiel, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So there lay all of those bones representing the house of Israel. And behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. What a dire predicament to be in, right? The nation of Israel, as represented by those bones, say, uh-oh, we've got a problem. We're cut off. Kind of almost sounds like they came from where I grew up. They said, we're clean cut off, according to the ESV. They realize that our hope is lost. You see in verse 2, sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting shame. I want to suggest to you this right here. That word sleep that we see in the book of Daniel in verse 2 is found 9 other times in the Old Testament. And every time it speaks of physical sleep. It doesn't speak of death. It speaks of physical sleep where people are resting. So I would like for you to think about this with me. I'd like to suggest the second view here, that what Daniel is being told is during the time of the Great Tribulation, the nation of Israel is going to have a spiritual awakening in some regard. Not that they're dead physically, but they're going to recognize some of them, this was the Messiah, and we rejected him. And here comes the rightful punishment that we deserve. And they're going to repent of their sins, and they're going to go into life everlasting. And the other ones are going to be apostate Jews, and they're still going to reject him yet again. And they're going to go into everlasting contempt. Mr. Darby said this. He said, many of the race of Israel will arise from their long abasement, some to everlasting life, but others to everlasting shame. God will clothe with the brightness of his favor those who have been faithful during this period of rebellion and distress. I kind of fall into the second category there. He's speaking of sort of a spiritual awakening yet again of the nation of Israel, just like those bones back in Ezekiel chapter 37. Anyway, we'll move quickly here. Daniel chapter 3, he says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever. Kind of reminds me of the 144,000 that we see over in Revelation chapter 7. Now, if you were to take a little bit of time, read through the book of Revelation again, if you're following a chronological Bible reading plan, you're probably there now, or you're getting really, really close to it. Nowhere in the book of Revelation do you see men and women and boys and girls repenting of their sins and turning to the Savior through all of the disasters that take place. As a matter of fact, you see quite the opposite. All these disasters are just coming upon these people, and they go try to hide themselves, and they go into caves, and they beg for the rocks to fall on them and kill them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb that sits on the throne. It's only when we read about the 144,000 who go out and who share the news of the gospel. It's the power of the gospel that brings men unto salvation that we see this great multitude standing there, clothed in righteousness and singing praise to the Lamb. John says they were without number. It's still the power of gospel that brings men to salvation. Well, the second section of Daniel chapter 12 is just this one little verse here, verse number 4. He talks about all of these things in those first three verses, and then he says to Daniel, he says, Daniel, you shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Seal up this book. Now, remember who Daniel is being told all about here. He's being told all about the Jewish nation. Well, these words are sealed up from them, I think, sealed up in their hearts, right? Because what do we see the Jewish nation doing when the Lord Jesus arrives on the scene? We see them rejecting him. We see God's plan coming out straight away. So we get here to this man in linen for our last little bit of time that we have in the remaining portion of this chapter. This man we found out about for the first time in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 5. And so he's still talking. He's been the one who is taking us through chapter 10, chapter 11, and now he's given these final words to Daniel here in chapter 12. But you will notice he's joined by two other people. Daniel's there on the banks of the river, the stream as it's said here in the ESV. There's one on this bank, he says in verse 5, and then there's one on that bank. And then he says in verse number 6, someone said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the stream. So you got a man sort of hovering over the middle of the stream, and a guy on this bank, and a guy on this bank. And Daniel's probably going, ooh, how about that? It's a pretty interesting sight to look at. But they start asking him some questions. And we see some similarities to this man, and we also remarked that this man could possibly be the Lord Jesus. I remind you of this little quote that we have from Chris Latham. Chris said here, speaking of Daniel chapter 10, when we were first introduced to the man, and in the book of the Revelation, we are about to have revealed to us incredible prophecies. Prophecies that, as we've mentioned before, we can get lost in, see wonderful things, and understand incredible events. However, just as in Revelation, perhaps, again, we don't know for certain, but perhaps Jesus is appearing just before the prophecies are given because it's important to establish that it's all about Jesus. So here comes another piece of incredible prophecy from this man in linen. perhaps again we need to put our focus back on the Lord Jesus, because it is His story, right? The Bible is about Him and how that He fulfilled to the very letter God's plan of salvation and saves us from our sins. We really don't know who He is. But notice what He's been asked in verse 4. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? You know, you've told us about all of this stuff that's going to happen. How long is it going to take? How long is it going to be? So the man in linen answers them in verse 7. He raises his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and he swears by Him who lives forever. Now, this might remind you of the angel who was holding the little book in John's counting of Revelation chapter 10. He did the exact same thing. He said that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. Now, we understand that to be 3.5 years. Now, why do we understand that to be 3.5 years? Well, if you jump down to verse number 11 with me, 1,290 days. Want to take a guess how long that is? 3.5 years. So we understand a time to be a year, times to be 2 years, and a half. So 1 year plus 2 years plus a half. There's your math lesson hadn't going into your midterm exams this week at school. 3.5 years that we have. Daniel, if you would like to look over to Matthew chapter 24, Daniel is actually quoted by the Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, the Lord Jesus said, "So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains." The Lord Jesus says these things that Daniel is seeing right here, they're coming. They're coming. You can rest assured in it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being some guy, again, Daniel, just a teenager, carried off into captivity of Babylon, takes a stand for the Lord Jesus, "No, I'll not eat your meat," continues to take stands for the Lord Jesus, continues to serve his God. God rewards him, gives him all of these prophecies. And then there's Daniel. Daniel in paradise, right? As we understand it. There in Abraham's bosom. And he's probably, at least in my mind, he can see all of these events unfolding, and Daniel sees and hears the Lord Jesus quote him. And you go, that's pretty nice. What a tremendous honor to know that what was said by me, so true, because I was faithful to God, that His Son saw fit to reference me for things that are coming. Anyway, that's a little bit of a rabbit hole, but it's a cool little thought for me. And Daniel says, "You know, I heard that, but I really didn't understand." And that's why I said that we were in pretty great company. At least I am for that. And verse 10 tells Daniel this, the man in linen tells Daniel in verse 9, "Go your way, Daniel." Tim would say that's category B. Go your way, Daniel. This is for you to record. This is for the scripture. "You go your way," he says, "for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of end. Time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand." Don't worry about it, Daniel. You do what I've told you to do. You be faithful in the task I've given you to be faithful in, because there are going to be people who are going to read these words, and their eyes are going to be opened. And they're going to see what I'm talking about, and they're going to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. There are going to be those that are going to read it and go, "Yeah, no, I don't think so." And they're going to reject Him. And it's going to be to their condemnation for all of eternity. Well, finally, as we get right here towards the end of it, verse 11 says, "And from the time the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. So this 3.5 year time period of the Great Tribulation, the 1,290 days. So why do we have this extra number at the end? Why do we have this 13 35. Well, let me suggest this to you. At the end of the Great Tribulation, the books are going to be opened, and the dead are going to rise. And what we mean by the dead is the unrighteous dead. Remember, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and He is your Savior, you've put your faith in Him, you're not going to be judged like the unrighteous dead. The unrighteous dead are going to be raised to stand before the great white throne of judgment and say, okay, well, present your case. Let's see if you're good enough. And going to be proven that they're not. Those of us that know the Lord Jesus are going to stand before the Lord and He's going to say, well, what about these guys? And the Lord Jesus is going to step in and say, they're mine, because they trusted in Me. And we're going to be in His presence for all of eternity. I think perhaps those extra days are because after the tribulation ends is the time of the great white throne of judgment. I don't really know. I'm kind of doing this thing like Daniel. Category B for me, right? I see what it says. I don't have to understand it all. The important thing is that we believe it. Our brother Johnny Phelan, he said, A long time ago, I thought I had it here written down in the front of my Bible, but I don't see it really, really fast off the top of my head. Brother Johnny Phelan used to tell you all the time, he says, when God says it, that settles it. Don't worry about it. It's a said thing. It's a done deal. And finally, in verse 13, again, a tremendous verse to me. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it should be a tremendous verse for you as well this morning. Go your way. Till the end, tells Daniel, live your life. There's coming a time when you'll reach the end of your days. And he says, and you shall find rest. And when it's all said and done, when everything is over, you'll stand in your allotted place. Lord Jesus has promised those who know Him as His as their Savior that these rooms are available in heaven right now that He's preparing. And what we are to do is to trust Him. Let His Spirit guide us, go about our way, doing the work that He's given us to do. Now, you might remember, if you go back up with me here towards the start of chapter 12, verse 3, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And that's really our charge there as believers, is to point others to the Lord Jesus so that they might find salvation as well. And the Lord says, you go about your business, you do the things that you've been told to do, and I've got a place for you when you enter into your rest. And that's an incredible thing to look forward to. So we wrap up Daniel with that thought. Daniel was, again, a young man. Now he's an old man. Incredible story of his faithfulness to God. He truly walked the walk. He did talk the talk, right? But then he backed it up and he walked the walk. Then we ended this book with some sobering prophecies of things that are to come. I would like for you to turn with me to Daniel chapter 4. One last look at this particular verse in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. I think it's the key verse to the entire book of Daniel. The entire book of Daniel is all about kings and kingdoms. We see this king and this king and this king, and we see all of these kingdoms fall. Chapter 11, you might remember, was a tremendous history lesson for us of all the kingdoms that fell throughout history. But read with me chapter 4 and verse 17. The sentence is by decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end, and here's the important thing, that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom He will and sets over it the lowliest of people. We sang this morning about a little Savior who was laid in a humble manger. Tim had mentioned just a rough-cut old manger like we've got over there in the corner to remind us of that. This little one was absolutely 100% fully God. He did not think the things of God something to be grasped, the Apostle Paul tells us, but He set aside the glories of heaven, and He came here, and He was born in a manger to the poorest of the poor, to the little virgin Mary. Historians will tell us, I tend to sort of agree to them, Mary, of course, betrothed to Joseph, still a virgin, probably somewhere in her early teenage years, right? Just a little girl with nothing to her name. Going back to the city of David so that they could be counted in the census. No place for them to stay. Lowly did he come. The words of Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17, he sets over it the lowliest of men. That's the final kingdom. Final kingdom is that of our Lord and of His Christ, the hymn would read to us. So the question for us this morning is the same question that we always ask. Even though this chapter and this book primarily directed towards the nation of Israel, there's a lot of application for you and for me. Because you see, there is a time of judgment coming, as we've talked about this morning. The great white throne of judgment is coming for the wicked dead. However, for those who know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, there is no such place. There is only a place of peace and rest for the one who came lowly in birth, lived a lowly life, not a place to lay his head, he tells us in the Scripture. It's got a place for you where for all of eternity that you can call your home. So the question is, will you take Him now as your Savior, or will you be amongst those that He says, depart from me, I never knew you? We hope and we trust and we pray that you will not delay. Scripture tells us that today is the day of salvation. This time of year at Christmas, we think about the one who came. We think about His birth. It's fantastic. It's a wonderful thing. Because you know what could never happen if He wasn't born? He couldn't have died. He died for you and for me. So we praise the Lord that the Christmas story was not the end of the story. Yes, He came. He was born. He lived a spotless and sinless life. But He died. We praise the Lord that His death is not the end of the story. We praise the Lord that He was raised from the grave. And He's in heaven right now, interceding for those that are His. We praise the Lord that that's not the end of the story. That one day He's coming back and He's going to get His own and take them out of this old world. We long and we look forward to that day. So won't you take Him as your own? Father, we do thank You again for the lovely Lord Jesus. We thank You for this one, as we've thought of this morning, who is, Father, the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. We thank You for the great work that He's done for us, as offering Himself as the salvation that we so desperately need, Father, taking our sins upon Himself, there upon the cross, cleansing us from all unrighteousness. We thank You for that. For those who will but believe and trust in Him for the salvation of their souls, we're looking and longing for this time of rest, as He's told Daniel, and then that allotted place that He has prepared for us. Thank You again for Your goodness and Your mercy, and we ask that You would protect us and watch over us throughout the remainder of our day and the week that is to come. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.